Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody. It is incredible. It is awesome here in the Pacific Northwest. But you know what? It's okay because we like it. The dogs are kind of crunching around out there in the grass. And I hope your morning is fine, or your afternoon, if you're on the East Coast, is finding you in good spirits. And what a week that we've had, life-changing in a lot of different ways. And we still send our best out to everybody on the East Coast that's really having a hard time right now. And please don't hesitate to go to the Internet, to Hurricane Sandy Relief, and please try to do what you can to contribute. For anybody that might be listening back East right now, you know, everybody is trying to band together and send you their thoughts and love and support in the best way possible. And certainly Foodomania supports that and really just hopes that everybody is hanging in there the best that they can and staying as calm and as, you know, as positive as possible under a really difficult circumstance. All right. Well, today is the Egg Show. And if you go onto Facebook on Chef Gerardo's Foodomania, you will see some pictures of some really interesting things and interesting eggs. We live in a situation where there are a lot of people doing backyard chickens, and that is a very incredible process. So, for instance, if you have a small little piece of property, really not too much land, you can actually do backyard chickens by using something called a chicken tractor. And chicken tractors are these self-contained units that basically have a nesting area, a kind of a grazing area. It's fenced off. And they're usually, chicken tractors, usually about 6 by 2 feet, 6 by 3 feet roughly. And your end result is just having a little area. And what happens is the chickens go in there, and then this, you move the chicken tractor basically every couple of days. And so if you have it on your grass, and it's incredible, and it's a way for people to have their own fresh eggs on a daily basis or by daily basis, depending on how much they're laying. And I have a couple of neighbors and a couple of friends that have chicken tractors that have had a lot of luck with them and really like them and love the fact that they can have eggs. And they live in kind of an urban area. Now, there's regulations when it comes to these kind of things, and before you go out and try to do chicken tractors on your own, you need to do the research and find out exactly what the options are in your specific area, because there are zoning laws that don't let you have chickens in certain areas. I know that really applies to roosters, and it has so much to do with the fact that people don't want to be woken up automatically by a rooster. They'd rather be in charge of doing it themselves. All right, so today we're going to talk about eggs, and there's different types of eggs. Now, if you go to the general market, you're going to see a bunch of different ways to buy eggs. You're going to be able to buy them in, 18 at a time. You're going to be able to buy them in cases and flats, or sometimes it's 3 to 4 dozen. You're going to see tremendous amounts of eggs, and you're going to see, usually people run out and they get the ones on sale, so you can maybe find a dozen eggs for as low as $1.25 or something like that. And they look just like regular eggs, and they're okay. Now, if you go into more of a grain-fed, free-range egg, your prices are going to go up a little bit. And some people have sworn to me they cannot notice a difference in flavor. But there is a little bit more of a richness in a non-commercial mass-produced egg. And I take that back, because a lot of these free-range and grain-fed eggs are mass-produced, but they just treat the chickens differently, and you end up getting a different sort of an egg. Now, the piece de resistance when it comes to eggs is trying to find a local fresh supply of eggs. And not to brag, but I have to tell you, I can go out my front door, and I have about a half a dozen sources within a mile to get farm fresh eggs that literally were laid within a couple of days. And if you've never had a farm fresh egg, if you've never had an egg from directly from a farm, you have never experienced a true egg. In some cases, the yolks are literally orange, and when you make an omelet, it looks, the color is so bold and so intense, you've never seen anything like that. Very different than what you're used to. And the taste is magnificent. Now, eggs are a tricky thing because, you know, as a vegetarian for so many years, I was very, very hesitant to eat eggs after a while. So a lot of vegetarians do eat eggs, but to me it was basically the same thing as eating a chicken. And a lot of times if I did have an egg, I'd have to go in there and pick through it to get out any of the membrane or any of the stuff that just reminded me of something that was a living creature. So it was really hard for me to really, really enjoy an egg. But as I felt more comfortable about it and realized that the protein from it was something I really needed in my system, and I also really enjoyed eggs, I decided that the only eggs that I would eat would be organic and would be homegrown eggs, eggs that I can get literally close by from somebody. And that's really, really important thing for me. Mainly because I'd rather spend a little bit more money and get something that's really delicious and fresh. So when you go out and buy the next dozen eggs, do the best you can. If you go to a Whole Foods or you go to a health food store, organic market, and most supermarkets, you're going to see a variety of eggs. Like I said, they're going to be as little as $1.25 a dozen. They're going to go all the way up to $5 a dozen. And you're going to say, what's the real difference? Well, you try the $5 eggs and try the $1.50 eggs, you're not going to notice an amazing difference. They're going to be a little bit richer as far as the higher price ones. But if you go to the farm store and you go try to find some locally raised eggs, it's like night and day. All right. So it's important when you are doing an egg to find one that, you know, is a good egg. Now, obviously, some people say, oh, what's the difference an egg is an egg? Well, as I keep repeating, you have to try it to really, really know, and that's the key. All right. So today I was thinking of certain things that I really feel about, which is to enjoy everything that we always cook and we eat. And so I want to start off today with one of the simple dishes, which is called simply egg in a hole. And it's something that been around for a long time. I really learned about it for the first time a couple of years ago from a friend of mine who decided to make a breakfast one morning and put this beautiful thing in front of me. And I said, wow, this is the coolest thing. And basically what egg in a hole stands for is usually, if you look at Chef Suarez's Foodomania Facebook page, you'll see a general picture of what egg in a hole looks like. But generally it's a nice piece of bread. And what you do, and it's simple, you find a nice firm bread. I like to use a good 8-grain bread or 9-grain bread or 9.5-grain bread. I'm just kidding. Or you can use a really, really nice piece of sourdough, wheat bread, something like that. And it works fine. The whole concept is to have a fairly nice slice of bread that's big enough to be able to cut a hole in the center of the body of the egg. And this is what we're going to do. So let me explain to you. Let's say we're going to use a nice slice of sliced wheat bread. So you take your frying pan, gently put it on a low to medium heat, a little bit of butter in the pan. Take your piece of bread. And what I like to do these days, I take a cookie cutter, and I just go to the center of the piece of bread, and I cut out the center of the bread. Now, we're going to keep this because there's a little trick here, which a lot of people never do. We're going to take a little bit of butter, and we're going to butter both sides of the remaining bread, including the little piece that you took out. Now, I have a heart-shaped cutter. I've used that on special occasions. Different shapes. Generally speaking, you're not going to necessarily notice the shape in the middle, but you want a cookie cutter that is going to still give you about a half an inch of crust all around the center of the hole. Now, very simply, take your pan, take that beautiful one slice of one side buttered slice and put it in the frying pan. And simply take an egg, carefully crack it open. Do this in advance and crack it open and put it in a little separate little bowl. And make sure, just in case you get any of the shell in it, and then slowly pour the egg into the center of the toast. And what's going to happen is you're going to go ahead and the toast is going to get toasted in the pan, and the egg is going to get cooked. And what happens is, depending on how you like your egg, if you like it sort of sunny side up, then you can just keep it on one side. But what happens is, once the egg firms up really well, then you're going to carefully take a spatula, place it under the piece of toast, and flip it over and just let it cook another, 35 seconds, depending on the temperature of the egg, if you like it. You know, some people like it loose, some people like it a little more firm, medium. And that simply is egg in the hole. Now, what I've learned to do over the years is do different things for people. I take some beautiful little bit of ham, and maybe I fry it up in advance, and then I take it and cut it into little strips, and I lay that over the egg in the hole. Sometimes little pieces of bacon are really, really nice. I love using Parmesan cheese over the top of it, and that's your egg in the hole. Very simple breakfast. You can roast a few little potatoes, or what I like to do is just do some fresh tomato slices with a teeny bit of olive oil over it on the side, maybe a little piece of melon or some berries, and you have an incredible breakfast. And you know, here's the thing, egg in the hole is great because kids love egg in the hole. They just do. For some reason, it's amazing to them. And so you're getting your toast, your egg, and all your bacon in your ham, or sometimes smoked salmon or something like that, literally in one shot. How lucky are you? You're very, very lucky. All right, so that is your egg in the hole right there. And I want you to try that, maybe tomorrow morning for breakfast. That'd be great. That's it. Now, the next dish is a dish that I really love for eggs. Now, everybody has their little trick omelet. So let me give you the basic omelet trick first before we get into eggs Goldstein. What I like to do, and what I've learned over the years, it's really simple. To make a really fluffy, beautiful omelet is not really that hard. And people do different things. Let's say we want a three-egg omelet. What you're going to do is take a nice medium to large frying pan, and preferably a nonstick pan because it gives you a little bit more help in the omelet department. Now, some people have specific omelet pans that they've been using forever, and they cure them. And, you know, you literally, so I don't know what they do to these pans, but you couldn't get an egg to stick in that pan. If you put glue on the egg, it still wouldn't stick. That's how beautiful this pan is. So you're going to go ahead and take three eggs and put them in a bowl and give it a really stiff beating, really nice. Make sure you just really blend it well. Some people will use a little hand mixer just to get it really fluffy. Then what I do is I pour in about 2 tablespoons worth of evaporated milk into the batter and go ahead and give it another little mix. Now, if you want it even a little, go a little crazy, if you have some powdery Parmesan cheese, I'm not talking about the stuff that's shredded or shaved. I'm talking about literally powdered Parmesan. Go ahead and put a tablespoon of the Parmesan into the mixture too. Now, in your pan, what I like to do is use a little teeny bit of olive oil and a little bit of butter. Make sure you coat all sides of the pan great. And then slowly, in the right heat, once the pan is warm enough, go ahead and dump your egg batter in there. Now, don't play with this egg too much. Now, if you have different ingredients, let's put them aside. You're going to have some ham, maybe. You're going to have some cheese, or maybe you're going to have some stir-fried vegetables. You're going to have maybe some green peppers and mushrooms and onions, like a Denver-style omelet. But for the meantime, put those on the side. Now, take a wooden spoon or a temperature-friendly spatula. And, you know, you can get a little rubber spatula that is temperature-friendly, and you can use it for this process, and it won't get all mushy on you because of the heat. If you don't use a temperature-controlled spatula, it's going to be like using a piece of paper to try to, you know, it's just going to bend, and it's not going to do that great. So go ahead. Now, you're going to see that your egg is starting to stiffen up a little bit. I want you to take the spatula and put it to one side and pull it towards the center and then tilt the pan away from you so that you're taking all the liquid and you're getting this beautiful omelet to go. Now, you're going to see this thing sort of get puffy and rise. It's beautiful. And what I do is I lift up one side of it, and I can see a little bit of color happening on the back of it. At this point in time, go ahead and line your vegetables or your cheese or whatever, it's sort of in the center of it, okay, across the center, and then go ahead and do that. And even though it's still a little bit loose on top, now some people, what they do is for safety, before they do this process, they'll take a plate and they'll put it over the frying pan and carefully turn the frying pan upside down and their omelet will be upside, you know, they'll take that part of the omelet out of the pan, and they'll just flip it over back into the pan. It works, even if you're professional, and do this every day, about one out of three times. So you're going to ruin your whole process, but don't worry, it's going to cook through. So go ahead and put your stuff in the center. Instead of, some people say, well, I want to make sure it cooks, I'm going to cook it both sides before I put my stuff in it. You're going to end up with more of a dry omelet, so don't do that method, in my opinion. Go ahead, put your stuff in the center, whatever it is, and gently with your spatula, flip one side of it over to the center, and not all the way across, and then your next side on top of that, and then go ahead and fold your ends over just slightly, and it's going to look beautiful. You're going to see some color happening because you've lifted the bottom over the top. Now, carefully, what I like to do, if you're very, very good, you can give it a little shake and give it a little flip, and you'll turn the whole thing over. If you haven't done that, just be careful. You can use a spatula and a spoon and flip it over gently. It'll work beautiful, and you will have one of the most fluffy omelets. Remember, 3 eggs, 2 tablespoons of evaporated milk, and about a tablespoon of powdered Parmesan cheese. Trust me, you won't even have to put any salt in it, maybe a little bit of pepper. Now, another thing, if you have an oven-friendly frying pan, you can do the same method, and this is incredible. You take the egg just like you did in the pan and go ahead and stick it in the oven at 350 or 350 to 375 carefully and let it cook that way. It's beautiful. It'll puff up, and you'll get a great thing. You pull it out in about 2-3 minutes. You'll see it starting to take shape. Put your ingredients in and put it back in. You have sort of an open face frittata style, which is beautiful. Now, if you want to go a little crazy, put the cheese over the top, and then go ahead and turn on your broiler for about 5 to 15 seconds and give it a little puff that way, and you'll get this melted, cheesy, gooey, crunchy, beautiful top. Let me give you one more hint while we're talking about eggs, and this is a really cool trick if you want to try something really different. We're talking about Parmesan cheese. Get your pan ready. Do everything the same, but before you put the egg in, take about a third a cup of Parmesan cheese and pour it in the frying pan evenly on the bottom. And you go, what are you doing that for? Well, here's why. Do that, give it about 10 seconds, and go ahead and dump your egg over that. And go ahead and do the same method of pulling it aside and tilting the pan until you get your liquid to the pan. What's going to happen is you're going to get this beautiful golden toasty cheese crust on the outside of your omelet that is to die for. And basically, with nothing else in the omelet, maybe just a little more cheese, go ahead and do the same method, you know, cook it, flip it over carefully. You are going to take your fork and cut into this thing, and your first texture is going to be the crunch of the Parmesan cheese into the fluffy, beautiful evaporated milk and egg mixture, and you're going to have one of the most incredible omelets that you've ever had. And people are going to love you and love your omelets. All right, let's get into Eggs Goldstein. I came up with Eggs Goldstein because basically, it's a combination of Eggs Benedict and lox onions and eggs, which is something I've had in my childhood forever. Lox is basically simply a pickled sort of salmon sliced paper thin, and it's a beautiful way. Now, you can also use Eggs Goldstein. I mean, you can also make this dish with a smoked salmon as well as like, you know, a little different. I actually use 2 different kinds of salmon in it because it's salmon mania as far as I'm concerned. Now, here's the way to do it. Yeah, simply talking about eggs for any kind of an Eggs Benedict sort of thing, Eggs Goldstein, is because for Eastern European Jewish culture, Uncle Goldstein used to have a little delicatessen to make something similar to this when I was growing up, so I dedicated it to him as Eggs Goldstein all the way. So what you're going to need is this. You're going to need about 4 or 5, now this is for 2 we're cooking right now, so if you want to cook for 4 or 6, you'll just, you know, double or triple the order. So go ahead and get a small package or about 4 slices of really nice, beautiful lox, Nova Gravilox. You can buy it in just about any, you know, store these days. If you're fortunate enough to be on the East Coast, in many cases you can go into an appetizing store and just buy it, buy the slice. It's not cheap, but it's certainly worth it. Then I want you to get a small, about a third of a pound of some really nice smoked salmon. Now, I know some people have used smoked sturgeon in this. You can use a few other different kinds of smoked fishes. It's gorgeous. Stay away from the smoked oysters or the smoked clams or anything like that. You don't want to do that. All right, so we're going to need that. We're going to need 1 Vidalia sweet onion, a small one, and 2 tomatoes. Go ahead and take your onion, take the skin off, cut it off, clearly and pull the outside layer off and go ahead and cut your onion into small little pieces. I would say about a third of an inch by a third of an inch little squares, and get them in the pan, a little bit of butter in the pan. Take your tomato and do the same thing. Get as much juice out of it as possible and just get your nice tomato with skin and everything about the same size and add it to the onions with the butter. And go ahead and go start sauteing that. Now, in the meantime, we're going to make a hollandaise sauce. I'm going to teach you how to do this really quick. This is an egg sauce. Now, you can buy a pre-mixed hollandaise sauce. I'm not going to tell you to do that, but it is easier in most cases. And if you want to save some time and you're not that comfortable with the hollandaise yet, then you can go ahead and buy one of those package brands and make your own that way. If you want to try it, here's what you need. First of all, we're going to set up a double boiler. So you're going to take a pot of water and fill it up about 4 inches and put it on the stove. Then you're going to take a stainless steel mixing bowl, a big enough one that will fit over the top of the pot and sort of sit on the top of it. And you're going to get some hot pads because this is a temperature thing. You're going to get a metal whisk, and this is what you need. You're going to need 6 egg yolks, a third of a stick of butter, what I call tea water. Somebody says, what's tea water? Tea water basically is boiled water. Just have some standing by, okay? We're going to need a little bit of salt, a little bit of white pepper, a little teeny bit of cayenne, a little bit of paprika, and a little bit of lemon, and that's it. Now, this is a tricky process, but it's really easy. If you've never made your own hollandaise, I'm going to tell you how to do this really quickly. You're going to take your bowl and put it on top of this boiling pot of water. Go ahead and stick your butter in there until it's melted. Now, turn down your boil a little bit, and very, very carefully with a hot pad. When you lift this bowl over that pot, steam is going to fly out the sides, and it's the easiest way in the world to get a thermal burn, and they'll not fight, and they hurt. So please be aware that the bowl's going to get hot, and the steam is going to come out. And the other thing is you don't want to get the bowl too hot because what's going to happen when you put your eggs in there? They're going to cook, and you don't want that to happen. So at this point in time, once the butter is melted, with a hot pad that covers your wrist as well, go ahead and lift the bowl up. I want you to take your eggs, all just your yolks, and pour them in there and take your whisk and start slightly off the top of the bowl, start stirring it and beating it. And beat it until it gets whipped together. It'll be really, really nice, and it'll blend together beautifully. Go ahead and go back up on top of your steam bath and go ahead and keep stirring it. Now, what you're going to see is you're going to see the egg starting to stick a little bit to the sides. As soon as that starts happening, pull the bowl off, keep whisking it. What's going to eventually happen is you're going to cook this sauce so it becomes a creamy thickness. If you overdo it, you're going to see little pieces of scrambled egg in your hollandaise, and you're going to hate it. So don't be crazy about keeping this bowl on top of the water. You're going to have to remove it a few times and go ahead and do that. Pull it off, give it a really, really good shake, and eventually you're going to have this beautiful, creamy mixture. At that point in time, I want you to add a shake of salt, a little white pepper, okay, a little teeny bit of squirt of lemon. Just take a half a lemon and give it a little squeeze in there, a little bit of your cayenne and paprika, and I'm telling you what, you are going to have the perfect hollandaise sauce. And just pull it off. The heat at this point, just let it sit on the bowl at room temperature for a little bit. You're good. Now, don't overcook it. Don't burn yourself. Turn your heat off right now. You got a gorgeous hollandaise. All right, we got that out of the way. Also, set up a pan, and you're going to try a little water bath with a saute pan, a deep one. Go ahead and fill it with water and get that water boiling. We're going to poach an egg. Let me tell you how to do this real quick so you know. You'll take your egg and carefully open, crack it, and put a little bit of vinegar in the water. When I say a little bit, I'm talking about a capful, and that's going to help the egg as well. Go ahead and drop your egg slowly into the water, and you're going to see it go all over the place. Don't play with it too much. Take your wooden spoon and go ahead and stir it. Just move it slightly until you see the egg is starting to form. And believe it or not, it's going to form, and as it forms, it's going to look like a typical poached egg. Now, once it's just about done, once you can see that it's no longer translucent and it's got some solid color, With a slotted spoon, you can carefully remove your eggs, and they're done. Now, this is all timing, so this is how you do it. Now, some people, there's an actual little cup that you can put the egg in, and you can submerge that in the water, and that will poach it in the same way and keep it together. Go ahead and do a little research online and find out what the best little tool for that is. And whatever method you use to poach an egg, this is what you'll need. Now, we want to use, in traditional eggs Benedict, they usually use English muffins or something like that. We're going to use a beautiful, nice, this morning, sourdough toast. We're going to cut two slices really nicely. Go ahead and butter them a little bit and toast them. Now, here's the deal. Take the toast, put it on the plate. Take the slices of lox and go ahead and put that over the toast. Oh, my gosh. Now, at this point in time, go ahead and poach your eggs. They're done. Carefully lift them up on top of the, on top of the toast over the lox. Now, take a spoonful of your tomatoes and your onion mixture and put that around the center of the egg, just around the circle of the egg. I'm sorry. And at this point in time, break off a couple little chunks of your smoked salmon and put that over the top of the egg. And then your hollandaise on top of that. You take your hollandaise and take a tablespoon and drizzle it over the top of that and covering those beautiful tomatoes and that lox and that bread and the smoked salmon. And you have one of the most amazing things. It's called Eggs Goldstein. Now, you can see a picture of Eggs Goldstein right on the Chef's Duars Romania page, or you can go to Kitchen Cuisine's Facebook page and see it there. Now, if you want the recipe, I'm going to tell you how to get that. But I have a couple of things to tell you about Eggs Goldstein real quick. A good side dish of that is a fruit salad. You can also make a really nice, simple roasted red potato or white potato. Basically, take some potatoes, cut them in small chunks, put them in a bowl, cover them with a little bit of boiling water and let them soften up a little bit. Drain them well. Then go ahead after they drain, add a little bit of olive oil, some salt and pepper, some paprika, a little bit of cayenne if you like it. Take your olive oil coated spiced potatoes, put them on a baking pan, and stick them in the oven at 350 for about 25 minutes. At 10 minutes, you want to flip them over a little bit until they're nice and golden, and you have your gorgeous, beautiful home-fried potatoes with a little bit of sour cream over the top. You can also put, like I said, a little bit of fruit salad and your gorgeous eggs Goldstein. That is your toasted, beautiful sourdough toast, your sliced lox, your beautiful poached eggs, your stewed, beautiful sauteed tomatoes and sweet onions, your pieces of beautiful smoked salmon on top of that, your gorgeous poached egg drenched in delicious homemade hollandaise sauce. You cannot go wrong, folks. Now, that is it. I ran out of a little bit of time for the creme brulee. I am going to have that recipe posted as well. Please write me at Chef Stuarto, C-H-E, F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O @hotmail.com. Or send me a message via the Facebook page, it's Chef Stuarto's Foodomania, and you can do it that way. Or you can also, at Blog Talk Radio, you can send me a message there and just say, eggs, 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 and I will send you these eggs recipes. You know, I could do a whole nother show on eggs. I haven't even scratched the surface in teaching you how to do a creme brulee, some of the best egg salad that you've ever had, my recipe for deviled eggs, which I have to honestly tell you I've gotten from five or six different people's ways of doing it, and I've sort of combined my own. Really, really fun. And also, for vegetarians and vegans out there, I was going to give you the eggless version, using tofu as a substitute, and I can do that as well. So you can write me for any of this. I may end up doing a second egg show. I may do the egg show, too. In fact, I think next week, because this is such a hot topic, we'll do the egg show, too. And we'll call it Egg 2, and we'll get into some more recipes. Please keep in touch with me. I want to thank everybody, really, for listening to Foodomania. Finding that last week we had over 90 people listening, or actually listening to at least the replay of the broadcast. And thank you very much for that. It seems like Foodomania is growing. We're like at the 8th month mark now. It's hard to believe that this show has been on for almost 8 months. I've enjoyed it. I'm going to see you next week. Thanks a lot for listening, Stuarto. See you soon.
Somebody to love. really simplified.